T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins.
Oh, here we go!
Afternoons on the Score.
Dan Plesak from MLB Network with us, McNeil and Parkins on the Score.
One thing that Manny Machado does do, Dan, I don't think so, Dan. Dan, if the White Sox, it does, Dan, it does. Really big misses, Dan. He's their best player, Dan. If you would have told me before the season ended last year, Dan McNeil, there's something to it, Dan. That's the way it is, Dan. You need those guys, Dan. You need those kind of guys, Dan. That's not the world we live in, Dan. It's a different landscape now, Dan. It is what it is, Dan. It's a different time right now, Dan McNeil.
Danny, I want to ask you about clubhouse cancers.
You've got to have some star power. And what comes with star power sometimes is when he's on the other team, you know, he's a real but I'm telling you what, sometimes the guys you think are bad guys, when they're on your team, you're like, I want that guy on my team.
Okay.
All right, he got to go.
Dan Plesak.
Now, look here. I don't like that kind of talk. Now, just stop it. It upsets me.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Thanks for hanging out, letting us take you home. It's McNeil and Parkins on the Score. Shot at $1,000 at 5:45 when we'll talk to Lawrence Holmes. Also, Mac, before the end of the hour.
Hit me.
We have a pair of passes to Cubs convention, which is next week. We'll be giving away this hour. Just
fantastic.
Add it to the list.
Fantastic. I told you we'd have those to give away. Don't doubt the Macker. You got to come through for those guys.
That's exciting. By the way, Kim Pegula, one of two principal owners of the Buffalo Bills, also a minority owner.
Kim Pegula.
In the NFL. You're in a singing mood today.
Yeah, it's Sopranos. That makes me want to sing.
The Sopranos makes you want to sing?
Yes, it does. Danny, we haven't heard the opening song yet today, have we? Have we played the opening song from The Sopranos?
I don't think we have.
Woke up this morning. I love that.
Got myself a gun.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. Sunday night. Is that a perfect vibe? Let's go. This is my Sunday night. Yeah, that's great.
Talking Sopranos today because it's the 20th anniversary of the debut of the show. Best opening of a show ever, The Sopranos? I think that's probably safe to say. I know Tanny thinks everything about The Sopranos is the best ever on television.
Yeah, incredibly biased here. But yeah, I'm trying to think in my head what are some of the great ones. Simpsons, obviously, changing every time. There's always a little wrinkle in there.
Iconic.
It's iconic, yeah. But yeah, I don't watch it every time when I watch every episode, but it's damn good.
Your favorite opens are from your favorite shows. I mean, come on. Star Trek, to boldly go, where no man is it.
True.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm trying my best to look at it objectively, and it's the best.
I got one for a garbage show. Well, people will get mad. You guys won't know this show. It's called The Courtship of Eddie's Father. Before Bill Bixby was the first Incredible Hulk, he was a single father, and the show was about him and the housekeeper. And it was it was horrible, though. People, let me tell you about my best friend. You know, you've heard the song.
Yeah, I've heard the song. Yeah, yeah.
That's the open of Courtship of Eddie's Father.
And not great.
Well, good open. Horrible show.
Okay.
Silly ass show.
Man,
it peaked after they started the show.
That was where it was going. Yeah.
Yeah, here we go.
See, yeah, I'll admit, like I love the opening to The Wire. They did a different version of the same song all 5 seasons, and so it was different video behind it. I love it. I thought it fit the show perfectly, but the Sopranos open is more iconic than the Wire open. Going over the bridge. You only see the silhouette. You never see his face, but you see the cigar.
That gets it done.
It does.
That is fantastic, man. I get chills.
When I first flew into Jersey, had to look. I was looking around like that was like the touristy moment for me. Oh, look at that. Look at that old rundown building.
Oh, this is where he drives by. The Bing must be over there.
Where's Pizza Land?
So, all right. So, Tanny, you know, you're dying your dance floor. You want to go favorite episode? You want to go favorite scene? You want to go favorite character? What do you
Whatever you want to do, man. I've got a list of my favorite episodes. We can, you know, start from there, I guess. We had this talk before, so, you know.
This was a big bonding moment for...
We did. We bonded on Kopech Day.
Yeah.
During the rain delay.
Through the rain delay, going back and forth with Sopranos episodes.
Whatever brings you together.
So, okay, so Pine Barrens is probably the most popular answer along with college.
It is. I have to be like a hipster, and I don't think Pine Barrens is my favorite. You know, it's like the popular favorite. It's one of the few that I guess you can watch by itself and, you know, just kind of enjoy it as is. It's not a whole lot of connectivity to that one.
So for anyone who doesn't know it by episode name, because Tanny and I are big dorks, it's when they go and they got to go kill the Russian in the woods, and Chrissy and Polly get stuck in the cold, and they worry about frostbite, and there's hilarity and death and destruction and all of it.
It's without a doubt the funniest episode, and yes. That's one of my favorite parts about the show. It's could be the one of the funniest shows ever. Like, they're not intending it to be. I guess they are, but it's not known as a comedy, but it's got some of the best lines I've ever heard anywhere on that show.
Correct.
I think my favorite episode is probably... All Due Respect. It's the season 5 finale where Tony realizes what must be done with Tony B. And, you know, he's got a conflict going and he's not well respected in his own family, Tony Soprano. So he realizes what he has to do. And the scenes leading up to that moment, and that's where they have the Van Morrison in that scene that I played earlier. Mm-hmm. That's probably my favorite episode, All Due Respect.
And that's the end of Buscemi.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. So that's – which, by the way – it's not a cameo. It's like a recurring guest starring role. But I mean, he's a
right.
major movie star. Yeah.
Yes, he is.
They caught a lot of heat by some of the critics in season 5. They injected all these new characters that were released from prison, and Robert Loggia was one of them, and he got done away with rather quickly in a different manner. Steve Buscemi was one of them.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. Robert Loggia, he was really – they said he was kind of difficult to work with, so they were wondering if his exit from the show kind of mirrored how people saw him like on the set, and they were like – it was kind of a similar vein the way they got rid of him.
He was a pig who didn't fly straight.
That's right. But then again, you also have Phil Leotardo was introduced, I believe, in that season as well. So, you know, this
– New York.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's a great, you know, not a lot of people like that season, but I think it's one of my favorites.
That is one of the only criticisms that I do think holds some water of The Sopranos and why I can't give it number one billing. It does feel like there are some superfluous scenes and stretches and storylines that don't necessarily serve a whole heck of a lot of purpose.
Yeah, and that season it is a slow build, but then again at the end of that season you have the long-term parking episode, which is one of the great episodes, and then you have the All Due Respect episode right after that. So it takes a while to build, but once it gets there, it's like some of the best TV ever made.
And look, I can't be a critic of a slow build because
that's number one thing about The Wire that people always tell me is like, oh, I started that first episode, I can't get through it. I'm like, oh, just stick with it. It's like very police procedural in the first episode, but they're trying to build a case here, so just keep with it.
Correct. You gotta trust the show and trust the writing that'll go. It never gets love on Best Sopranos episodes list that I see, but and I know it's my own degeneracy, but when Tony goes to Vegas to handle some of Chrissy's business and he does peyote – and he has the trip, and
it's Kennedy and Heidi, I believe, the same episode where Christopher meets his demise. It's a great episode. Yeah, I love that one.
Great episode, and you see like Tony, like he's got the protective instincts, but then he's a degenerate on the side. Like the duality of Tony Soprano is on display perfectly, and he goes on a heater in Vegas while tripping on peyote. It's incredible.
He's having a bad gambling streak because the Chasing It episode is not. Long before that, and then finally, after Christopher meets his demise, Tony finally has this monkey off his back, and then he starts winning again at gambling. So, you know, a lot of that was tied in to his feelings towards Christopher. His bad luck was gone.
Yeah, it's
question, sort of off topic, but on top. Why, you know, James Gandolfini died shortly after the show stopped production. Frank Vincent is gone. Why hasn't Michael Imperioli parlayed what he did on The Sopranos into a more, unless he's doing things of which I'm not aware?
He's the actor that plays Christopher.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spider from Goodfellas.
Correct.
He was on a short-lived ABC cop show based out of Detroit, which I saw for a few episodes. I thought it was decent, but Imperioli's an interesting guy. Like, I was listening to an interview with him earlier this week, and he's very much about the craft. Like, I think he just did a movie in Brazil with a lot of the people from the same cast of The Sopranos. They like working together still, but it's like not a big movie. It's an indie flick that's still, you know, waiting on financing. Like, he's one of these dudes. It just seems like he enjoys the craft of acting
more than the money.
Exactly. Yeah.
He's probably made enough, I would think.
I would guess he's made enough, but I mean, is he?
That'd be a nice place to be in life, you know, especially at his age.
Yeah,
he can't be, what, 40?
But he also got a big check. Didn't he? Remember those tequila commercials he did?
Yes, that's all I remember him from since The Sopranos.
Yeah.
Ironically, I think didn't Ray Liotta take over his spot in those commercials?
Oh,
I think
wow.
That was the same company, I think.
Is it really?
Yeah, that's right. Henry taking over for Spider.
I never would have put that together. That's hilarious.
He's dead. I'm a good shot. What can I say?
the crossover too of like the typecasting of the people that are in Goodfellas.
Yeah, my wife's least favorite game is whenever I see an actor from Sopranos or The Wire on anything else we're watching that's not related. Like, hey, babe, you know who that guy was from? You know what show he was on?
Right,
Sopranos. Yeah, I know The Wire. Which one is it? Actually, this guy was on both.
Yeah, right. He's on both. Like Michael Kenneth Williams, who plays Omar, actually has a little bit of a cameo that most people forget about in The Sopranos. But yeah, also just like through the mob movies, the guy. Plenty of people that were Sopranos, Goodfellas. Maybe they got a spin on Boardwalk Empire or The Godfather or something like that.
When Gandolfini was still in production with The Sopranos, when he would fly here, he would fly into what has been called now for a handful of years Chicago Executive Airport.
Yeah. Downtown airport.
Wheeling, Palatine area.
Yeah.
I think it's Willow Road and...
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
It used to be called Palwaukee Airport. A friend of mine worked there and said he had the occasion to have conversations with Gandolfini three times and said all three times. He said on the third time he remembered his name and was as gentle and warm as any celebrity he's ever met, and he couldn't fly commercially.
No,
you're not
too
going
big of a
to.
Star.
Yeah, you can't do that. So he flies into Chicago into that little bitty airport up there in a private jet, and was always as nice as anybody he's ever met. I think that's a great story because it's not what you would expect. You would expect a little Tony Soprano, would you not?
Yeah. Well,
I would think.
Well, and that's why we asked Alan Sepinwall the stories about it. Like you read what he had to go through because he was the gentle giant that cared for everybody, but that he would. Physically injure himself unintentionally, but like to work himself into a rage before shooting scenes where he had to be enraged.
Stay up all night if he had to be agitated. You
throwing
know.
Things around his trailer, like they would
getting into character,
getting into the character, and it truly there was. That's why he didn't work for a while after it. So he had to like go back down and find his center, and it was such a defining role. That it was really hard for him after the show.
Alan said it was the greatest performance in television, and I would agree. And it's funny because after I've seen the series five or six times all the way through, you can finally put aside how great James Gandolfini is on that show. He's like in the background, right? Because you've seen it so many times and you recognize his great performance. But the great part about that is you finally can appreciate the performances of Edie Falco, you know, Michael Imperioli, and everyone else on the show. It's just so perfectly cast. That's why I was.
Imperioli, by the way, 52, for the record.
I mean, still a
much
great
older than I thought he was.
Yeah, but still a great time to not have to ever work again if you don't want to.
I keep forgetting Goodfellas was 1990.
Yeah,
that's a long time ago.
He's been working for a while, living for a while. Yeah, it's the show. Also, just I wonder what it did, and what there's probably been a piece on this of what it did for like Americans' understanding of therapy.
Those were my favorite episodes.
Well, yeah, and she...
And I like Lorraine Bracco, too.
She's amazing, and there's another one who obviously crosses over with Goodfellas, but it was such a big part of the show and how Tony would go to her and how he was cynical about it at first, and then by the end of the show, he says it saved his life, and he used it for strategy, and at times he talked about his kids, and sometimes he cried, and sometimes he was scheming about the next guy that he needed to kill or a business deal, and stops the panic attacks and all of the things that therapy can do to you, and prescriptions and falling in love with your therapist. Like, it touched on so many themes of the mental health world.
I read a David Chase interview who said that at one point all of his writers in the writer's room had been in therapy previously. So they were all able to add their own experiences and kind of put it all into the stew there of what Tony was going through with Dr. Melfi.
Yeah, because that might be some of my favorite parts of the show too, outside of just Stone Cold gangster stuff is obviously the hook. And, you know, we've talked about the infatuation with organized crime and how we all think we could be the perfect criminal, mm-hmm. or at least I do. I'm like, I could plan the perfect heist. Mm-hmm. Of course I could. Mm-hmm. But yeah, beyond that, that's part of the layers of the show.
When you meet celebrities, do you tend to leave them alone? Do you ever approach somebody? And I'm not saying like in a restaurant, but let's say here in the Prudential Building.
It would honestly depend a lot on how much it meant. And now, because of this job, athletes, I'm much more likely to ignore, maybe shake your hand, or if it would mean something to the show, try to make the business connection. But when I had the opportunity to meet J.B. Smoove, who is Leon in Curb Your Enthusiasm, mm-hmm. which is in my top three and to me the best comedy of all time, I was, oh man, gushing. And he could not have been cooler. Like, it could not have. It turned into like an hour plus long experience. Yeah. And it was amazing. And it's funny. Like, I would, like, right now, I don't have a picture with me and anybody from The Wire. Like, that's something that I'd really
You'd like to change that.
I would really like to change
that. I'd like to do a rewind and have Frank Vincent do another 20 minutes in the ABC building in the summer of 07 when I saw him with his PR gang getting him into a limo, and I'm out on State Street having a heater in a show break. And I did say hello, and I'm thinking, okay, how many people who admire him, what is the most commonly heard thing? From his perspective, what does he hear more than anything from his fans?
Goodfellas, right?
Which line?
Go get your shine box.
Go get your shine box. Yeah. I didn't want to be the 1 millionth go get your shine box.
Yeah.
I said, usually I don't walk up to people and just introduce myself. And I said, hey, come on, Henry, teach this kid some manners. So I gave him that line.
Nice.
And he liked it. He laughed. And I didn't ask him to come up and do another 10 minutes. He was doing Ro Khan's show on a different floor. I regret not asking him to come back upstairs for just 10 minutes, and then he died.
Oh, man. Yeah, I saw Chris Tucker at like 4 a.m. I was getting on an elevator. He was getting off at the Bellagio, and I, hey, Smokey, from Friday. I'm like, oh, you heard that 2 million times in your life. I was 23 years old. I was wasted.
It's a very 23-year-old thing to do.
I hated myself for that reaction to Chris Tucker in the Bellagio. But yeah, you know, you don't always handle it perfectly. But, you know, 4 a.m. in Vegas, I'm not going to beat myself up
much. You're probably just starting.
Yeah, no, actually, at that point, I was getting on the elevator. He was getting off. So he was... continuing, but yeah, he's Chris Tucker.
Your Vegas trips sound like, oh boy.
I used to.
Need a couple of days off when you get home.
Oh yeah, man. Oh yeah. Brain pulsating
a little bit. We'll get into it sometime later.
That's
the worst city in the world for that product.
Oh, yeah. Like, I told you, I'm not retired from Vegas, but I'm retired from the product.
You don't even need Tootski in Vegas. I know. It's pumped in via the oxygen in the casino.
But that's why. I mean, you know, it's just. Yeah.
You don't want to miss anything.
You don't want to miss anything. There's always another hand to be dealt.
Might be something cool on Tropicana Boulevard happening at 4 o'clock this morning. Let's not miss it.
Nobody knows what's going to happen next in that city. It's McNeil and Parkins on the Score.
And Tom, remember when we all rented that house down the shore with the bed bugs?
Summer of 78.
Hey, Tone. You okay?
Yeah, yeah. You sure do. You're being kind of quiet.
Well, that's because, remember when it's the lowest form of conversation.
That's why we do a ton of it in sports radio. It's the lowest form of entertainment.
That's exactly right. Bottom of the hour coming up on the Score, brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Chicago Wolves own their best start since the last championship and boast the most all-stars of any AHL team. For the 25th anniversary, enjoy free parking courtesy of Kia. High-scoring winning hockey and free parking, Chicago Wolves, last team standing. Caller number 6 to the Score's contest line, 312-591-6700. You win a pair of passes to the Cubs convention at the Sheraton Grand Hotel, January 18th through the 20th. For more information and to purchase tickets, visit MLB.com. Cubs.
And we'll be there on the 18th as well, 1 week from tomorrow.
1 week from
broadcasting from Cubs Convention. I hope you and Shep are more chipper than you were earlier today when we got around to chopping it up with the Cubs. Shep more than you, but a lot of negativity in the room.
I'll be honest about it. Like, there in person, whatever. When the season starts, when we're at spring training.
As soon as you see Ryan Terrio, you'll get excited.
No. I don't know about all that. I mean, those T-shirt jerseys, the riot. I mean, they're all the rage.
Go to number 7.
But I think the team's going to be really good. Just the offseason's been really frustrating. Both things can be true, right? I can contain multiple thoughts in my head. Like the
you often do.
I know, and sometimes I argue.
Sometimes they conflict.
Sometimes, and when they do, please call me out on it. But I don't think that they do this time. I know the Cubs are really good. I know they're one of the 4 or 5 favorites in the sport next year. I know that. But this is the golden age of Cubs baseball. They've never been better. They've never made more money. And so you expect them to be able to be in on every expensive high-ticket item. And so it sucks when they're not. Like, I don't know. I don't see those two things as in conflict with each other. Do you?
Okay. No, not really.
Yeah. So it's, I don't know. It's the offseason. The offseason's not been good. So I'm down about the offseason. I'm not necessarily down about the team's chances in season.
All right.
And I don't know, maybe that's too...
Once you see that freshly cut green grass at Sloan Park in Mesa.
Well, see, here's the thing. I love the trip of spring training.
Here it comes.
I'm
the same way, dude. It didn't take you long to get jaded, did it?
It's not. I don't consider it jaded. You love training camp and football.
I love that it signals the nearing of the season. That's what I love. Yes, there was a time when camps were more physical, I enjoyed them more. Yes, I would go to Platteville on my own time.
Right, and so I'm consistent on this. I feel like I watch so much sports that counts. Sports that doesn't count doesn't do much for me.
Yeah,
like I love the access that we get in media.
Yes,
but
the importance of the trip for me is to build some relationships 100%. With members of the organization. It's not necessarily to glean any big insight. I always get a kick out of those calls. If you take calls, whether you're at Cubs training camp. How they looking in Bears camp. Hey, how they looking? They look like they're walking around in shorts and hats, you know? That's how they look.
Yeah, they look like baseball players playing baseball.
Ask me, you know, after the last preseason game. This is way too early. So it's for relationship building as much as anything. And just to set a scene, people are tired of the damn weather by the time you get the spring training in town. So if you can paint a few pictures and get their minds off of their snow shovels and their long commutes and the crap that we deal with here all year.
Yeah.
Although this year's been great so far.
I don't like any of it in any sport. Like preseason football.
It's verbal masturbation.
But it doesn't have to be. You could just acknowledge and call it what it is. And then, you know, you get a guy on and you do an interview or whatever, but they're practicing. They're going to be
That's what they're doing.
They're practicing.
And if you don't want to interview a guy when we're in Chicago, why would you want to interview a guy because you're there?
Yeah.
That was a fight I had with an executive producer a handful of years ago. It was the last – we were in Cubs camp, and we were finishing the week in Sox camp. We did 3 shows in Mesa, and then we're going to do 2 shows – when they were still training in Tucson in 08. And Danny Zetterman just would not get his head around the idea that we've given you the names of guys we want to talk to. Stop asking us when we're on the air in the middle of a segment if we want this guy. We're in the middle of talking. We got 3 guys here. We got a lot of plates spinning. Do not ask me if I want Ryan. We already said yesterday, no, stop asking. I made him commute that night with Dave Miska. I refused to get in the automobile with Danny Zetterman that
night. Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's about a 75, 80-minute commute from Mesa.
Man, cruel and unusual punishment.
You got angry.
To Miska.
Oh, God. I love Zetterman. He was always great.
I loved him, too. Yeah. I loved traveling with him a lot more than I did working with him.
Okay.
Just not in the car that day. And, it was 3 days of it. 3 days of just, No. What don't you understand? The N or the O? That's an old one. But he just didn't get it. We said we're not going out there just to put interviews on for the sake of interviews. The guy never says anything. Most of the people he was. Why? Because he's wearing pinstripes?
Right, just guess for the sake of guess.
Yes, yeah. That's exactly how it should be phrased.
Yeah, not
that's what it is. Guest for the sake of guests.
Yeah, it's lazy.
It is.
Yeah, man, I feel the same way about calls. Calls for the sake of calls. It's a good call. It's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
You want to argue something? You want to make a joke? You're funny. You're sarcastic. Mm-hmm. Great, great.
Yeah,
but just
we haven't punched a button on a call yet today.
We want to change that? We got
no,
an NFL.
Not at all.
Okay.
No. If you do,
no,
I don't
no, no.
know.
I'm fine.
We had, we got a couple of them holding, I see.
Texter says, if you're down about the offseason, it implies you think the team needs improvements. There's no perfect team. Every team can be better. And
I think what Danny's saying is he's just underwhelmed.
Yeah, I just – this offseason has been something that has been looked ahead to for years. If you look at sports – like GMs do or try to. I'm not at all putting myself on their level or intellect or anything like that. That's not what I'm saying. But you just, if you think about team building, when are the big guys coming up? And we've known this was going to be the year of Bryce Harper for forever. We've known that Bryce Harper and Chris Bryant are friends.
That's right.
They've talked about wanting to play together. He would make anybody better. He's exciting. He's one of the few recognizable fun names. I'm all for
He might be baseball's only superstar.
Right. So the idea of him playing at Wrigley Field is exciting. It's fun. It's interesting. It makes them better. Undeniably, the Cubs want to add him. They just can't. That sucks. Because for my entire life, pre the Ricketts family owning the Cubs, which admittedly, not that long, but still, it was they're cheap. Tribune Company, all these sort of hamstring. They'll get guys at the end of their career. They're not going to really spend the big money. That's a thing of the past now. The Cubs, they can basically do anything they want, except evidently now.
I did express a while back a reservation about Harper to the Cubs that I'll repeat real quickly here if I can. I thought there was a little bit of trepidation on my part because if you would have put Bryce Harper in a Cubs uniform this year, that's a lot of big fish and big egos in the same room. And Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant have been attached at the hip for the last several years. Bryant's longstanding friendship with Harper has the potential, in my mind, for some jealousies. That's a lot of superstars in one room.
Yeah. Sounds like one of them good problems.
It could be.
Yeah.
It could be a great problem.
Yeah.
It also could be very disruptive.
Sure.
Congratulations to Mike Minogue of Bolingbrook. Mike won the Cubs convention passes. Nice going, Mike.
Nicely done. And yeah, by the way, Cubs convention will put everyone in a good mood. They'll put a good spin on it.
Oh, God. You see Jim Hickman walking around and...
Theo will...
Did they invite Steve Traxel this year? Remember when he told us last summer he wanted an invite? He's never been... I forgot to mention that.
I can't find a list of who's invited because I was legit curious about some of the current Cubs that would be or not be there. And I can't find any list of who the actual participants are.
I'm sure we'll get one next week.
Yeah.
Sosa.
Guys will travel in day before. Oh, God. Not that story again.
Bring back Sosa.
That's not on your Mount Rushmore of in case of emergency break glass topics. Sammy Sosa coming back to Wrigley Field. I mean, you put Derrick Rose's number retired. Like, you got to have Sammy right next to it, right?
It's a very polarizing conversation. It's an anytime conversation. Yes,
I know, but
it's in my pocket, Shep. If he won't admit it, I'll admit it's in mine.
There you go.
It's just not in my pocket now. And that when you said it, my heart sank a little bit. I was like, oh no, we are going to have to do that again at some point this year. You know Sammy will be in the news for something.
It was easier last year because it was the 20th anniversary of the 98 season. I don't think there'll be a lot of fanfare this summer over it.
Probably not. It's just something that it gets asked every year at Cubs
convention.
Unless
you want to take the angle that it's now 21 years after the 98 home run race and he wore jersey number 21. You could go that way if you want.
You could. And every year at Cubs convention, someone asks the Ricketts family about bringing him back. Every year.
Yeah.
The same quote every year. So the same news cycle happens every year, and it just it keeps popping up. So, you know, there is that. Let's take the call. Mike on the north side wants to bring us to the NFL. Go ahead, Mike. You're on the score.
Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
All right. Hey, was listening to your discussion earlier about which teams you'd want to see knocked out in the divisional round. And, Parkins, I know you kind of have ties to the Chiefs from when you worked at Kansas City. But
yeah.
For me, they're the one that I kind of want to see get knocked out early, if only for the reason of preventing some sort of narrative that they got better after Matt Nagy left?
Well, don't fear that, man. They did get better after Matt Nagy left because they started playing Pat Mahomes.
Look at the difference he made. Just a little Matt Nagy in your coffee, and the next year you're picking all the nicest fruit off the vines. There's another way of looking at that, Mike. Or not.
Go ahead.
No. Go ahead. Respond.
No, it's a good point with the whole Mahomes thing, too. It's just it's kind of a combined thing for me, too. The whole, you know, they pick Matt Nagy from Kansas City, and they also pick Trubisky over Mahomes in the draft. You know,
I'm just saying, Mike, get used to it. Pat Mahomes is going to win the MVP. They're the one seed this year.
Because Matt Nagy groomed him.
There you go.
He learned at the feet of Matt Nagy.
It's just...
this doesn't reflect poorly on Nagy if they win the Super Bowl. The opposite.
If anything, I would say it doesn't really reflect on him at all.
Right.
Yeah, it doesn't reflect...
if anything, yes.
Yeah. But the Chiefs did get better losing Matt Nagy, but not because they lost Matt Nagy, because they played Pat Mahomes, who's the league MVP. And you're going to get used... you got to get used to it, because... he's got Andy Reid and Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill, and they're going to be good for a while. They're going to put up huge offensive numbers for a while. So you'll be reminded that you took Mitch Trubisky in front of them probably their entire careers.
That's okay. As long as Trubisky plays at the level to which everybody would be satisfied, who cares?
Right.
Who freaking cares?
Chargers fans are happy that they got Rivers. Steelers fans happy that they got Roethlisberger. Giants fans happy that they got Eli Manning.
That's right.
It's all pop.
Don't worry about it.
Same drafts, all in the top 12, just like Deshaun, Mahomes, and Trubisky. So
there will not be a Jim Hickman sighting at this year's Cubs convention. He passed away 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago.
How do you feel about that, old man? Just referencing guys and they're dead.
I know. I need to be more protective. See, when they throw something like that out 15 years ago, it's pretty safe.
Who did you ask yesterday that had been dead since 2008? It's just back-to-back days. It's been gone for a long time.
That's a good question. I remember the conversation, but I don't remember who we were...
Shep, you looked it up and confirmed that they were no longer
someone
with us.
Someone was dead since
2008.
Bobby Fischer.
That's right.
Bobby Fischer,
right.
The chess master.
Where is he?
Not
in the
top
ground.
Of mind, yeah.
Yeah, no, not top of mind, but also, you know, it's a tremendous streak. We'll see who you can reference in the present tense tomorrow. It's a new game.
I like it.
It's a new game we could play. Tanny, you going to watch a Sopranos episode tonight?
You know, I was thinking about it, even though I just finished my cycle when I was on vacation last month, a couple weeks ago. I'm thinking about watching something. I'm so amped up after the show today with Alan coming on, and I was talking about it. I was watching a Best of Junior Soprano when he walked in on me earlier. So I may just watch a series of supercuts.
Yeah, the YouTube deep dive is a good thing to do.
Yeah,
on a day like this,
I found out that I think. Tony aside, I think Junior is my favorite character. Corrado has got to be, he's got the best lines. He's just, because I think I'm turning into him just like so bitter and just cranky. I think, I identify most with Junior.
You're 40 years away from being his age.
I don't regard you as bitter at all.
Yeah, not bitter, but just like,
you
just
ever
curmudgeon-y.
Think he's bitter? No.
Just curmudgeon-y.
A little curmudgeon.
Salty.
Tanny is very...
I don't get that from him. Of course, my back's to him most of the day based on the construction of this wonderful studio.
Yeah. You're an isolationist? Is that a good way to...
Yeah, I feel like Junior in the house arrest episode.
Yeah, you kind of just like to do
get my hands
thing.
Stuck in a sink.
He's introverted.
Flexing.
He's introverted.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not... yeah, I would say that.
But you're... I don't know. Don't give yourself Junior.
He's been beaming today.
Oh, glowing.
His level of engagement in today's show
very
exceeds
high.
Anything we've done since we started.
Very, very high. Absolutely.
You were gone a long time. How many White Castle did you have?
I didn't, I swear.
I can smell them.
You're right, too. The serious shows, the serious movies, if you don't have the comedic element to lighten the mood and break the tension a little bit,
yeah,
it ruins it. I showed you that Sharp Object show that you ended up not liking, and you're right.
I liked it, but I didn't like it enough to keep going.
Yeah, and it ended up not being my favorite thing either, but I watched that, and I was like, who is getting pleasure out of watching the show? It's about, you know, like it's a murder mystery, and the mom is poisoning the kids, and the daughter's harming herself. I'm like, where is the...
Yeah, it's joyless.
Yeah, there's no joy, no humor anywhere. And so you gotta add that in, and the Sopranos had it.
What kind of likeness is that? They were great artists, they'll be in a museum.
That's right. I'm fodder for cartoonists now. It's beautiful. We'll bring in Lawrence Holmes for some transition next on The Score.
There's no scraps in my scrapbook.
It's time for your chance to win $1,000 in cash on The Score. This hour's keyword is teeth. Text teeth, T-E-E-T-H.
Good job.
Thank you. 72881 by the end of the hour. Again, the keyword is teeth, 272881. One randomly selected nationwide entrant from this hour will win. Please do not text and drive. Message and data rates may apply. What's up, Lawrence Holmes?
What is going on, man?
Everything's good. Lawrence, you've been here 20 years now. I'm certain you would join me in saying congratulations and happy 20th anniversary to Jeff Fritz from our sales staff.
Oh, yeah.
We joke about the non-essential employees. He's one of the good ones. I've not one of the good non-essentials, very essential, but a guy I've worked with directly for, you know, all my time here that he's been here. And I have really enjoyed his company. He is tremendous at what he does. Happy anniversary, Fritzy.
Right on, Fritz, because you talk about a guy that grinds. Like, that guy is out there hustling. Like,
yes, he is. And old school style.
Yeah, not to go too inside baseball, but basically when it comes to selling in media, you're either dealing with direct clients or you're dealing with an agency that has a bunch of clients. So, you know, a lot of car dealerships will use agencies because they have a lot of copy and they're dealing with a lot of radio stations. The thing I always loved about Fritz is that he built his business with direct clients, that he was out there, mm-hmm. you know, knocking on doors, going door to door, talking to people, trying to get them invested in the radio station. And as that business grew, he's selling all this stuff directly. Well, let's see what happens when we get him involved with an agency and, mm-hmm. and that type of service. Like anyone who's in sales can probably relate that, sure, you can go out and sell one thing one time, but it's the return business and you servicing your clients.
That's right.
That is going to keep you fed and keep your bosses happy. And Fritz has been doing that for 20 years. He is an incredible example of what this radio station wanted to be and has become. Like, he's a good example of that.
20 years. Amen. Second 20-year anniversary we're celebrating today.
Exactly.
How about that?
Amazing. Yeah.
You a Sopranos fan?
Yes. I'm not to the depth of you, but I tagged Tanny and BMAC on a thread, and he said that maybe you guys even talked about it a little bit, the idea that the audience is who gets whacked at the end.
The TJ Quinn thread going viral. Yeah.
Yeah. I hadn't thought of it that way, and I was one of those people that was really disappointed at the end, and I don't know if I saw the artistry to the level that you guys may have seen it and TJ Quinn did, but after reading his thread, it was a very compelling idea that the pushback against sex and violence by Chase was to put us in the same position as Tony and then whack us. And that's why everything goes black. I don't know about you, Tanny, but it's hard for me to be sad about anything that has to do with Journey in that particular song.
I know. It's always the first thing I think of, not The Sopranos.
2005, baby. That's what it's all about.
That was unfortunate.
What? The White Sox winning a World Series?
No, the song that accompanied it.
Oh, yes. Because it's about Detroit.
Which was started as a joke in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Hey, Creedy, put some Journey on the box. Yeah. They were making fun of it. They didn't like it. They were making fun of Joe.
Joe Perry, that's his name, right? The guy from Journey?
Yeah.
And then him in every shot.
Steve Perry. Yeah, Joe Perry's Aerosmith.
That's right. It's him in every shot, you know, when they got the trophy, him on the podium when they're doing the parade.
He was there with them the whole time.
Oof.
Does that tarnish it a bit?
Yes. Yes, yes, that guy.
It doesn't tarnish it.
No, it doesn't. Just, well, we had to take what we could get. We're White Sox fans,
it
right?
It is amazing how many people do know that song, though, because they... It's played now at sporting events during long timeouts, and people go crazy for
it. It's an all-time sing-along song.
It's a good sing-along.
Not for this kid. I break nails punching the button. If I'm ever on the FM band and I hear anything from that band that has Steve Perry as its front man, yeah, because they once rocked. They once were a rock and roll band, and then they got Steve Perry to front them, and they became a cheesy, successful pop band. So I got a thing for them.
They sold out?
Yeah. Imagine that.
Good for them.
Yeah, very similar to REO Speedwagon, too. Very similar. Now stop!
At the diner for the onion rings.
It was planned the whole time.
Best damn onion rings in the state.
Meadow Camp Park.
And you know, and it's funny, the TJ Quinn theory that went viral about the audience getting whacked instead of Tony Soprano, it's basically the exact logic that I had always thought, and that I think a lot of people thought, that Tony got whacked. It was the perspective of Tony, and then of the audience. Tony, audience, Tony, audience. And then he says, you know, the members only jacket's a sign, and then you probably never even hear it coming. And they did go silent at the end of episodes with big deaths, like Chrissy's death. They would no music over the credits. They'd go silent. So I thought he just took a bullet in the back of the dome.
Tony Soprano suddenly passed away at the age of 56 yesterday.
That's right. And also because they came out so quick and said there will never be a movie. So, well, okay, there's never going to be a movie because Tony died.
I don't need a graphic death. I'm okay with the assumed death in television or film. There are some things that are patently obvious. He got whacked.
I think so too, but I also think that there's probably a better way to do it than having 50 million people think their cable went out, which is what happened at the time.
It was a jarring moment. Were you like,
it has aged well, though, I think. I think it's aged well.
You're right. Like, it's one of those things where the artistry is now respected and people get it a little bit more than...
Yeah.
Because you know how it is when it comes to the idea of a finale, the word itself, there's going to be a conclusion. And when there really wasn't, it's like, how do you take that and deal with it?
Right.
And I have found that when shows end, I kind of do want there to be a conclusion. And there are some shows that pulled it off. Like Breaking Bad to me, not the final episode, but the penultimate.
Yep.
Ozymandias.
Yep.
Oh my God.
One of the best episodes ever.
I think it's one of the best hours of television, or 75 minutes of television I've ever seen.
And I thought the Breaking Bad finale was good.
It was really good.
Yeah.
Really good.
That's the only show I've ever seen that I thought peaked at the end. Like, I thought every season was better than the previous season. And I've never seen a show
Have you been watching Better Call Saul?
Yes.
Because I feel like it's on the same trajectory.
100%.
Where a lot of people couldn't get on board, and now it's like
it's great.
Taking that next step. And not to name drop here, but when Odenkirk was, I actually was doing pre and post for the Cubs the day Odenkirk sang the seventh inning stretch.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like so in awe because he's great.
Amazing.
But we actually talked a little bit about Better Call Saul, and he's like, we got so much great stuff in store. He's like, you have no idea. Like, it's so great what we're getting ready to do. I was like, yes!
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Vince Gilligan is a genius. Like, he is a television cinematic genius, and that show it's beautiful. Like, they you know what I mean, they made the desert in New Mexico beautiful.
And actually, I mean, having spent a little bit of time in New Mexico now, I really like New Mexico.
I've never been.
I haven't either.
I've been to Arizona, but I've never
heard
been to
great
Mexico.
Things about New Mexico.
You need to just go to New Mexico and eat. And Santa Fe is an hour from Albuquerque.
I can do that.
Yep.
So, I mean, you can be in both places in the same day, and the food is, like, just amazing. And if you believe in all the hippie-like crystal stuff, that's there for you, too. You can go see Brian Urlacher's face on the stadium, side of the stadium, and go see the Albuquerque Isotopes. And
Lovington,
New Mexico is where Brian is from.
All right. You got a shorty tonight, man. College buckets tonight here on The Score.
Yeah, we're trying to decide on how we're going to divvy up our small amount of time. I would actually like to talk about the White Sox, as weird as it sounds, and maybe give some information on the nightmare that Vic Fangio is walking into in Denver.
Sounds good. We had Alan Sepinwall, Brent Musburger, and Dave Wannstedt on the show today. Nick Shepkowski, our executive producer. Chris Tannehill, great job as always. Lawrence Holmes is coming up next. We're going to fade the black here in a second. He's Dan McNeil. I'm Danny Parkins. We're McNeil and Parkins. This is The Score.
Someday soon, you're going to have families of your own. And if you're lucky, you'll remember the little moments like this. That were good. Cheers.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.